is Cascadia Public Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's April 16th, 2009. I'm your host, Alex Ansary, and this is Outside the Box Live, coming to you again from Portland Community Media. Max Kaiser in Paris, France, is our guest tonight to talk about the economy. He's got a TV show called The Oracle on the BBC World News. We'll get to him in about 8 minutes' time. Briefly, we're going to cover a couple headlines, and we'll also tonight talk a little bit about the Tea Party protests that took place recently. And I also want to remind the audience that episode 200 of Outside the Box is coming up on April 30th, and on that day we're actually going to be live 2 hours from, instead of just 7 to 8, we'll be going from 7 to 9, and I'm contemplating that day doing a live studio audience for April 30th, so I'll have my decision made on that next week. Let's go over briefly a couple headlines, show you a couple videos, and then talk to Max. U.S. government faces veteran anger at extremism report. The U.S. Homeland Security Department under fire for saying U.S. forces returning from the Iraq and Afghan wars were potential right-wing extremist recruits. A lot of this propaganda is coming out. The report said that fears of possible new restrictions on firearms, as well as troubled veterans returning from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, could lead to the potential emergence of terrorist groups or lone wolf extremists capable of carrying out violent attacks. So this is more the fear-mongering that we're seeing. Another headline, no charges against CIA officials for waterboarding. Barack Obama is not going to do anything different than the Bush administration. And he says, and I quote, "At a time of great challenges and disturbing disunity, nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past." Obama's also all for the warrantless wiretapping as well. Here's another one. China buys less U.S. debt as reserve growth slows. That's also in the news. Right now, their foreign exchange reserves are sitting at $1.954 trillion. Oregon's jobless rate has hit 12.1%. It seems like just last week I was telling you it was 10.8%. Oh, wait a minute, it was just last week. So that's where we're sitting in terms of the state. We'll get into more news later on in the program. We're briefly going to show you a clip from the Glenn Beck Show on Fox News. This is kind of interesting. It took place a couple days ago. Not to make fun of anyone with a medical condition, but you know, as Glenn Beck is going out over these horrific economic headlines about trillion-dollar bailouts, a guy that Glenn Beck is talking to passes out live on the air. This is an interesting clip. This is from YouTube, but we're going to show that now, and then we'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is from just a few days ago.
It was bad that everybody said, oh, no, we can't invest in that. The government invested in, and now this is full of cancer. If all of those had cancer, this
now has it.
Okay, so this is Treasuries. You all right?
I'm passing out.
Okay, are you okay? You want to hang on?
Passing out.
Okay, why don't you want to sit down?
Go on.
Okay. All right. Oh. You okay?
I guess some people can't okay. Take the stress.
Can somebody help them, please?
So to speak.
Somebody help? We'll be back in just a second.
You okay?
This flag raised.
Definitely bizarre. Also, go ahead and continue playing the DVD. Let's show people the video playing here. And what you're seeing actually here is the Tea Party.
It looks like
the tree protest in Portland from last night, and I was there, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but here's some footage. This was a nationwide protest, bringing together a lot of different people, a lot of different people. We'll talk about some of the people that are trying to put their face in front of the crowd, the people over at Fox News trying to take credit for this protest. But we'll get into that later on the broadcast. But there you go. That's Portland from last night. All right, so certainly there's a lot of stuff going on. We're going to go ahead and talk directly to Max Kaiser. We have a few phone issues tonight with connecting with Max over in Paris, but we do have him with us for at least a good 30 to 40 minutes. Max is an interesting individual. He has a TV show on the BBC World News called The Oracle. And he's also an entrepreneur, a financial journalist, an inventor, a documentary filmmaker. He's also the creator of the Hollywood Stock Exchange. We're very glad he can be with us tonight. It's actually 4 o'clock in the morning over in France. Max, hello.
Oh, Alex, I think I'm passing out.
You think you're what? Tapping out?
I think I'm passing out.
You think you're passing out? It is pretty early over there. Do you have some good coffee tonight?
No, I was. I watched that the clip of on Glenn Beck of the guest. He did pass out.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely made me a little nauseous to look at. Hey, tell us about yourself, about what you've been talking about for years, and I definitely wanted to get into your predictions in terms of the economy. So. Tell a little bit about what things are looking like from your perspective right now, now that the G20 has come and gone.
Right. Well, I started making films about 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, with my partner, Stacey Herbert. And we started making these films for Al Jazeera English when they first came on. And at the time, Bush was threatening to bomb their headquarters in Doha, Qatar, and as a matter of fact, they did bomb Al Jazeera's station in Iraq, and they killed a journalist at that time. So we figured that, well, if Bush was against them, they must be doing something right. So we started making films for Al Jazeera English, and we made a few interesting films. One was called Rigged Markets, which explained 16 different ways that the U.S. and bankers in the U.K. were rigging markets and how they were destroying markets, and we predicted that this would cause a huge collapse around the world. We made a movie called Money Geyser, where we went to Iceland, and I sat down with some bankers there, and I said, look, you know, based on what I'm seeing here in Iceland, your banking system and your currency, the Icelandic krona, is going to collapse in 1 year. And they said, oh, no, we're supermen. Each one of us is worth 3 people. And sure enough, within a year, the krona collapsed, the Icelandic krona collapsed, and the economy has collapsed. And now they're being, you know, the IMF is in there trying to restart the country. We also made a couple of other movies basically talking about the how the fraud had come to dominate the entire financial sector. You know, the financial sector in the U.S. is got to the point where it was about 40%, 42% of the entire GDP of the U.S. was coming from the financial sector. And the financial sector itself is really, having worked on Wall Street myself for many years, you can just see this wave building over decades. How with every crisis, there's the response of the federal government was to inject more money. On Wall Street, they call this the Greenspan put. I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but what it means is that if for every crisis, Alan Greenspan, who was the Fed chairman at the time, or Ben Bernanke, you ultimately don't have to suffer the consequences because the Fed will always inject more money. So you had the long-term, it started really with the stock market crash of 1987, which with the response at that time was to flood the system with money. And you saw this repeated with the long-term capital management crisis and the various banking crises. So you've got all this trillions of dollars worth of money that's used as a band-aid over these systemic problems. And we're seeing a repeat of that again now, is this idea that all you need is more fresh loans into the system. But the system isn't responding. And you mentioned the unemployment number a minute ago, and it's actually a lot higher if you strip out a lot of the ways that they've changed calculating that number over the past few years. The number is about 16% in the U.S., and you know, it's growing sharply, and the economy is breaking apart. It's breaking. You know, what's really interesting, Alex, is how the economy and the ecology are both breaking apart at the same time. You know, when you read about, there's an interesting connection there, because of course the ecology is then really the biggest victim. I mean, I read about people who are unemployed in America, and that's too bad, of course. But the real tragedy is the ecology, and how the business model over the past few decades, supported by all this debt, this fiat money, has really taken the ecology down a path of destruction, and that's really tragic, and it's particularly tragic in the U.S., which a lot of people in the U.S. claim to be somehow associated with the Christian faith. You know, there's that very large body of people in America who think of themselves as being Christian in some way. Hmm. And yet, these are the same people who don't think twice about engaging in an economy that's absolutely destroying the their gods, as they put it, their creation. Mm-hmm. So the hypocrisy is stunning. And but, you know, it's not unlike, you know, in history, every time you have a group of fanatics, whether it's Christian supremacists in America, or, you know, you've got being led by propaganda people, you know, the results are not good.
You've likened this economic crisis to a controlled demolition, similar to World Trade Center Building Number 7. Can you elaborate on that statement, why you feel that way, what you think the best evidence is out there that people need to know about when it comes to the whole thing about this being manufactured, not just some accident that just kind of dropped out of the sky?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I don't think people doubt that this is a controlled demolition, but I just think people are very reluctant to want to act on it or want to believe it, because it's, people have a natural tendency to believe in the good, and this, of course, is exploited by people in the industry who are shamelessly, you know, rigging the system and destroying the system. But in terms of you know, looking at how the system is kind of set up currently, you know what, if you want the evidence of how it's a controlled demolition, just look at the way interest rates are set up. You know, interest rates are the price of money, basically. It's what people pay for money, to borrow money, and all the money in the U.S. economy is borrowed money. There's no actual hard money. But the way the interest rates are set up, it's like the Jim Crow laws. If you remember the Jim Crow laws that were in place in America after the end of slavery days, after a while they introduced these Jim Crow laws. You remember the famous photos of white entrance and colored entrance, and the way that the black community was completely separated. And in America today, you've got that same Jim Crow mentality with interest rates. If you're Goldman Sachs, you can borrow money at less than 1%, and you can buy assets from the government that have a very high rate of interest, borrow that those assets for and speculate that you'll make money with those assets. If, in fact, the your bet goes bad, you get to return the bad assets, and they'll reimburse you. So you get a risk-free bet funded by virtually free money, no interest rate money. If you're anyone else, a credit card, you know you're being charged 15, 16, 17%. You know, the interest that you pay to borrow money is in the teens or higher. And this is the financial equivalent of the Jim Crow laws. I mean, if you're paying more than 1% on your money, then, you know, you're like a black person in America in the 1940s and 50s. You're being basically told to sit in the back of the bus, and you're being treated like a second-class citizen. Anyone who pays a bank fee or a high interest rate on their credit card, they are being treated like, in the worst possible way. And, if we know from experience that a lot of times when people are mistreated, there's this mentality of the big house, you know, the big house syndrome, where, you know, if you're a slave on the plantation, you know, some of the slaves got to live in the big house. And in America, a lot of the people who are being victimized by high interest rates, they're being allowed a few special privileges. You know, they'll get, they'll be able to, get cheap seats to some ridiculous spectacle or something. You know, those people are basically, allowed to live in the big house, as it were. But that metaphor of the plantation, I think, is one that's the evidence that I see. Yeah, anyone, you know, it's the people in the U.S. are basically, they're paying exorbitant rates, they're losing their job, the wages haven't increased in decades since the 1970s, and the society is breaking apart. What's the response of the past week? What do they have? They staged these tax results. But before we get into that, though, just to make the comparison, as you made earlier, the controlled demolition and how brokers who are buying options on the rumor of exploding airplanes. Mm-hmm. And that was a common rumor on Wall Street that there was airplanes were about to explode, and so a lot of brokers were buying put options on this rumor of exploding airplanes. And this is in the reports. This is in the 9/11 report. There's nothing new about this. So the brokers were in effect speculating, as it turned out, on their own demise, because a lot of the brokers who were making these speculative bets were working in the towers. So these were people who were speculating on their own death.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. And you see that today in the U.S. all over the place, people like Goldman Sachs, they're speculating with America's economy every day. If they lose, the government gives them more money to go speculate some more. If they win, they carve out that money for themselves as a bonus. You know, Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, these guys are very similar to the 9/11 attackers, in my opinion, because all they're doing is destroying. They're highly destructive, and they're doing it in a way that's premeditated, and the system is completely rigged, and the effects are quite devastating.
Exactly, and that's the point that you're making in this humorous video that we're going to show right now. Christy, track 5. And in this video, you're talking about disarming the bankers with their financial weapons of mass destruction. And it's a short little video. It's about a minute. I got it off your YouTube channel. We're going to go ahead and play that. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary General. This is an important day as we review the situation with respect to disarming bankers. After the first Great Depression, Congress passed the Glass-Steagall Act, The purpose of that resolution was to disarm bankers and brokers. Never again would they be allowed to destroy the global financial system. I am here to warn you that they have, in fact, rearmed themselves with a deadly toxic debt instrument known as a derivative. I ask for this session today to support the core assessment made by famed investor Warren Buffett. He said, quote, derivatives are financial weapons of mass destruction that have apparently been devised by madmen. These instruments pose a mega catastrophic risk. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait for the mushroom cloud of bad debts to explode over our financial system. Let's disarm the bankers before it's too late.
I want to get your take, Max, on how we disarm the bankers, and I also want to talk a little bit about these Tea Parties taking place in the U.S. What do you think about the Tea Party movement and how people like Glenn Beck and others that haven't in the past, you know, delivered the highest quality pieces of information, I guess you could say, propaganda for the neocons? Don't you think it's kind of weird how they're trying to put themselves at the front of the crowd now? And also Bilderberger, Rick Perry down in Texas, speaking before the tax protesters. Doesn't it seem that some people are trying to co-opt the movement?
Well, the Tea Parties were like pre-packaged dissent. You know, they were about as meaningful to this idea of revolt as a Twinkie is to a healthy diet. You know, they're prepackaged. It was packaged completely by Fox News, and it was covered by Fox News.
I've been noticing that, yeah.
And oh, sure. I mean, there was the entire. These entire events were completely staged by Fox News. And I think that people, they see this on television, and they say, oh, you see, the people are, they're upset, and they're expressing their anger. That's good, isn't it? We live in a free society where people can express their anger. But if you look past into this for 5 seconds, you'll see that this is not at all what's going on. First of all, to have a protest like this now in America, you need to file for permission from your local police station. You need to be set up in certain areas that are allowed only for protest. And in the case of a human protest, let's go back to the Republican National Convention leading up to the last election. Remember, there was a genuine outbreak and a genuine protest in Minnesota. And in anticipation of that, the cops in Minnesota were able to buy insurance against them breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
So the cops bought law-breaking insurance, and knowing that before the event and during the event that they would be forced to violate the civil rights of the people who they anticipated were going to be protesting. Sure enough, there was a protest. The cops violated the law. But, of course, their law-breaking insurance kicked in, and the total cost to the municipality of Minnesota was covered because of the law-breaking insurance that was purchased by the cops. So here you have a fake demonstration put forward by Fox News for ratings purposes, and I see on the Drudge Report. And, Matt Drudge is like... the equivalent of, if you go back to German fascism, there's a very famous Lena Rison, who was made the Triumph of the Will, which was a very famous propaganda film for Hitler. Basically, Matt Drudge fills that role in this particular period of history. He's the propaganda minister. So you have these Fox News-driven protests that are completely staged, and they send out the message that somehow people are exercising their free speech rights and what have you, but it's completely bizarre because when in fact anyone does attempt to do anything genuinely expressive of their civil rights, the clampdown by the state, whether it's invasive spying, it's surveillance that we're seeing, the telecom that we're caught spying,
right?
Nothing is done whatsoever.
Another thing I've noticed in these protests is like Rick Perry in his speech was also blessing the troops and let's support the war in Afghanistan, and people are cheering. In this demographic of people that are at these protests, a lot of them heard the call from Hannity. They heard the call from Beck. They heard the call from Victoria Taft of AM860 locally in Portland. They heard the call from Rush Limbaugh. So people that have been listening to neocon radio, they're the ones that got in the call to arms to come out and protest. And we even see that Sean Hannity broadcast his show Wednesday night from the particular event. There's Glenn Beck as well in San Antonio, Texas. And we've got, of course, many other people as well involved. Like I said, Victoria Taft was down there in downtown Portland. And as we're talking, guys, let's just show the imagery from track 3 of the tax protest. Or the second track, as we're talking, so people can get another look at what it looked like in Portland. But Max, what do you think is the right way to go about it, as opposed to just doing the
well,
same
yeah,
old same
Well, yeah, first of all,
old.
The people in America should demand that Al Jazeera English be allowed to broadcast inside the United States, because, you know, Al Jazeera is barred from being broadcast inside the U.S., and because Fox News doesn't want the competition. You know, if Fox News thinks they're so tough, let a competing network broadcast in America Al Jazeera English and let the people decide. When anyone watches Al Jazeera English on YouTube or, you know, when they're in the airport somewhere, they're like, my God, this is a fantastic network. They play fantastic news. And it's a world-class network, and their take on it is a much-needed, you know, point, balancing point to what the Americans get. People in America should insist of getting Al Jazeera English as a first step, I think, to balance out the media landscape. Because what they're getting now is just it's more than absurd. I mean, it's like a mental enema for people who have been constipated by overdose on Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly. But it doesn't do a very good job of that. So you just end up with this, what I call, basically, what you end up with are these ducks on a foie gras farm. You know, when you're making foie gras, you force feed the ducks until mm-hmm. their liver expands by maybe 500 or 600%, and then you harvest the liver from the duck.
Mm-hmm.
And in America, you know, they're being force fed by Fox so much ridiculous propaganda and lies that their minds become basically warped to like a duck's liver. And then, you know, lo and behold, the Reaper comes along and says, while you've been force-fed these lies, now we're going to take your job because we got to make sure Goldman Sachs gets their bonus.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the media seems schizophrenic to me, Max. It's like, what are they going to end up with after programming people to go back and forth, a schizophrenic society? Because it's like, oh, now the president's bad. Oh, now he's good. Oh, now he's bad again. Oh, now he's good again. And then these constant turns and the crowd being pushed back and forth, kind of like a ball going back and forth that's hypnotizing somebody. It's just like, how long are Americans going to put up with this theater without actually until you know, how long is this going to go on without the American people figuring this out? This is a big game.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the realm of the stock market, you know, it's interesting because whenever the people get really start to get antsy and you feel that there's really on the verge of some kind of unrest, you know, there's always usually a bit of a stock market rally at that time to shut people up. And the trend for the market after it really since 2000 has been down. You know, people are losing money in their 401ks, people are losing a lot of money in the stock market. But throughout that period, there are always these bounces that come along. And we're seeing one now where, because there is this notion that people are genuinely starting to wake up a little bit, you know, they just hit the go button. And, you know, I've designed technologies, as you mentioned at the top of the show. I designed market-making technologies for used on Wall Street, and it was sold to one of the banks on Wall Street uses some of this technology. And the way to, the prices are not, on Wall Street are not the result of supply and demand at all. You know, the prices are completely managed by folks who really are running the scene. And so they use the market really as a way to modify people's behavior. And you see that happening all the time. The market's being used. So now, like I see on our own chat boards, et cetera, now that the market's been up for a couple of days, people get suddenly very pigeon-chested. You know, they thrust out their chests and they're saying, oh, you know, I'm... It plays into that same thing. You know, you see in Iceland when people start making money quickly, they lose all perspective and it becomes, you know, dog eat dog. You know, in America it's fascinating because when the market's going up, of course everyone's a capitalist. But when the market's going down, everyone wants to be a socialist. You know, why can't Americans, you know, decide what they want to be? Do they want to be capitalists or do they want to be socialists? They can't be capitalists on the way up and socialists on the way down. You have to be capitalist every day. If you want to be a real capitalist, you can't be a fake capitalist. You know. So it's. But anyway, so the idea, Alex, though, at this point is how to. What can people do to join the fight? Because the fight is on now. You know, the people are in the streets. The fight is on. So we're in a new chapter. You know, it's no longer about predicting that there's going to be some kind of financial hardship or, you know, that over. Now we're into it. People are genuinely living in tents on the street. It's a horrible situation. So now the question is, what do we do now that the war has started? So there's a few things to explore, you know, in terms of fighting back and, you know, that's kind of the interesting thing right now, because we're living in an interesting time, because you actually do have now a clear division in society all over the world, not just in the U.S. There's this clear division, and people are taking sides, and there's a total regeneration that's coming along as the old styles of business and politics are being wiped clean. You know, I've started this thing just last week. I started this new website called My Film, which is basically challenging the copyright industry. So Fox News, the way Fox News lives on the blood of out-of-date copyright law. The copyright laws are what feed Murdoch, what feed Fox News. Because they're in a position on, and they've been able to change the copyright law over the past couple of decades to become perpetual copyright. Mm. So this is really separating people from their own their birthright, which is access to their own culture, because the copyright has been corporatized. So Pirate My Film is something I just started as a way. It's almost like an engineered way to conduct massive civil disobedience by allowing people to bypass copyright completely, but still, they're still going to be within an economic design, which should, if it works the way I think it's going to work, it'll be a competing challenge to the current copyright system. So that means all the copyright. So this is fun for me because I worked on Wall Street. And I made a lot of money on Wall Street. I created a hedge fund in London called the Karma Bank Hedge Fund Idea with a guy there who ran with a billionaire over there, Zach Goldsmith. And the idea was to challenge corporations by encouraging people to sell short offending companies. Or I've got this thing called the Gulag Wealth Fund, which is a way to make money on America's slide into a gulag state. So you're buying stock in Prison Corporation of America, for example. So to me, there's always another side of the story. So if Fox News is going to go down a path of the Third Reich by openly scapegoating people in the population and by putting this shameless propaganda machine, then you know, my response to that would be something like pirate my film, which is going to completely obliterate the current copyright system by empowering anybody out there who wants to raise money for a film. They can do so with pirate my film, and they can do it in a way that's going to take advantage of the what are called the BitTorrents. These are the P2P files that are swapped on sites like Pirate My Bay, Pirate Bay, or Mini Nova. You know, Mini Nova, they've swapped more than 80 billion files have been swapped on Mini Nova. See, Mini Nova is a huge economy that I'm going to tap into with Pirate My Film in a way that's going to obliterate the current copyright Hollywood system. But that's the goal. So that's my challenge. So I, you know, at some point, Alex, you've got to say, you know, you can't, you know, the people who are predicting economic calamity in the U.S., the time for predictions is over because it's hit. The unemployment rate is 16%. When at the height of the Depression, the unemployment rate went to 25%. So, I mean, we're inching toward that number. The policies in Washington are put forth by Larry Summers and Tim Geithner are going to help the banking system, but it won't do anything to help the ordinary citizens. You know that if they spent that $11-12 trillion that they gave the banking system, they could have very easily gotten rid of every credit card debt and mortgage debt in America.
Well, exactly.
Every Visa card,
if they applied
MasterCard
that,
and mortgage debt could have been wiped clean. Every American who had a Visa or MasterCard could go right to the mall and start shopping that day, and the economy would be growing today.
Exactly. Exactly. We wouldn't be in the mess that we're in now. Now, Max, with a couple minutes that we have left, I want to get your projections on what you think is going to happen from here on out, because we definitely are looking at the eye of the storm. $1 trillion being literally created out of thin air, not backed by anything. This is astronomical. This is historic. This type of bailout package has never worked in the history of civilization. So your take, Max, on now where we are, what we could be looking at, what people need to hear from here on out.
Well, yeah, the amount of debt being piled onto the current pile of debt is only going higher. You know, the government is forcing people to cut back. Now, people are trying to cut back. They're trying to spend one less. They're trying to keep us from going into the gutter. So they're doing the right thing, actually, like actually cutting back. The government, at the same time, is borrowing more. So they're completely deceiving the people. The people who are cutting back and having to make do with less, you know, all that work is for nothing, because while they're trying to make do for less, the government is actually piling on more and more debts.
Well, if the
so
government
is deceiving the people.
Why are they accumulating more toxic assets in the Treasury Department, and all the stuff's going on, and borrowing all stuff from China? Why is China investing toxic assets? They're not going to as much anymore, but the fact is they already have. Now, what does that mean for the future of our country? It seems to me that the sovereignty and the security of our country is completely in jeopardy and at risk. That the collateral that China's looking for could potentially be infrastructure and land. Do you have a position on that? How do you view the Chinese in the situation in terms of the future, their growth, potential dominance over the U.S., parts of it, perhaps?
Well, you've seen in the last couple of months, the Chinese have actually been in the last U.S. Treasury bond,
yeah.
And they've been buying more industrial commodities like copper. So the price of copper actually in the last few weeks has gone up. It's gone up almost 50% this year, the price of copper. And that's entirely due to the Chinese. So the Chinese, they realize that their huge U.S. dollar position is very risky, because the U.S. is just going to keep printing more dollars and it would devalue their dollar position. So what they're doing is that they're, as quietly as they can, they're buying into industrial commodities, so they become the global dealer in industrial commodities. So when the economy at some point hits bottom and you've weeded out all the weak hands, you know, all the foreclosures and everyone, and the unemployment is at 16-20%, and you have some kind of base to go forward, then at that point China will be the number one dealer of the world in industrial commodities. So they will own all the industrial commodities, all the controlling position, the market making position in the price of all the industrial commodities, and so the U.S. will then have to, you know, dance to China's tune. So they're doing this. You know, the U.S. is basically, their policy is guaranteed disenfranchisement for the U.S. The U.S. is doing nothing to give themselves a long-term competitive position. They're simply still playing the accounting tricks to give the bonuses to bankers in the short term. And they're not doing anything to give the U.S. any kind of long-term strategic competitive place. So you see that right now happening. If you look at the price of copper in the last couple of months, or for 2009, you see that it's zoomed straight up, and that's purely coming in from the Chinese buyers.
Yeah, they're definitely diversifying. Even CNN reported that China's on a shopping spree. According to here, one reason they're reducing the amount of reserves they're buying, the purchases, as you said, metals, but also foreign companies, other natural resources, things of that nature. So, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, actually, back in February, they bought $4.6 billion worth of U.S. Treasury securities. So anyway, in the last couple minutes, Max, that we have with you, what would you like to leave us with? How can people check out your show? I know you've got a lot of stuff online, and you've got tons of interviews you've done with Al Jazeera and the French news over there. Tell us about the website.
Well, we've got maxkeiser.com, K-E-I-S-E-R. So that's kind of the main hub. And I work on that with Stacy, and we put up a lot of links to stories to kind of keep perspective on what's going on. And we do a radio show every week in London called The Truth About Markets, and we post that up online. We've been doing that show for over 3 years, and you know, it's a fun show.
I like your show. I think you're better than Colbert. I think you're better than Jon Stewart. And I've told this to a couple people, check out Max Kaiser, because you're actually informing people about what's going on while bringing some humor to your show. These guys bring some humor to their show, they laugh and they dance around, they give you a few facts, but the people are still dumb as rocks after they're done watching it. And so that's what I think is good about your show, and that's why I think people should check it out.
Yeah, well, the thing is that we straddle the line in terms of doing something that's a bit, you know, on the satirical side at times. But because we're talking about money, for some reason, everyone treats money different. Money, satire as it relates to markets and money, differently than satire as it relates to politics, for some reason. I don't know why political satire is accepted, but financial satire is not accepted, especially these days when so many people are getting having their net worths destroyed by bankers who are laughing in their face. I mean, if either you're going to laugh back, or you're just sad. Mm-hmm. I mean, bankers are ripping people off so shamelessly. I mean, it's ridiculous. They're just literally stealing money, and it's like watching a Keystone Cops or something. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But anyway, like I said, the main focus right now for fun, because I've always thought that the Internet had the potential for the revolutionary possibilities. And before the powers that be swoop in to destroy the Internet, you know, that's they would love to shut it down in a lot of ways by bringing in a lot of user fees and things like that. But before that happens, America, you know, there's one last chance to keep the spirit of 1776 alive. You know, there's one last chance to show the world that America hasn't been completely dumbed down to been just waddling, Twinkie-eating gun runners. There's only one chance with the Internet. And a site like I just put up, this Pirate My Film site, I'm definitely going after all these like the Glenn Becks and all these Fox News people. by just cutting them off from their blood supply, cutting them off from their cash, and their cash comes from having a monopoly position and abusive copyright laws. So the idea is to cut the cancer from getting. Now Glenn Beck is a cancer. I mean, as a BBC,
yeah, he's a
host,
real piece of work. It's a real piece of work
without any compunction. That Glenn Beck is a dangerous cancer on the American soul, and this is not he's bleeding the country dry of any dignity. When people outside of America see Glenn Beck on TV, they laugh so hard at what America's become. It's side-splitting laughter that this guy is on TV and degrading the country.
He says
Taliban actually look good by comparison. Glenn Beck, he's the most dangerous psychopath that ever. He's just making the country look horrible. But anyway, so that's all fed by the copyright industry, which can, in my thought, is vulnerable, given this pirate my film setup. But since I talked about it on Alex Jones' show a few weeks ago, gotten huge response. We're rolling out more functionality in the near term. So the path toward advertising
right.
is being cleared, and it's going to be done in the digital space. And again, the idea is to cut the copyright cartel off from their money supply, their blood supply, their blood sucking supply, and to basically starve the cancerous Fox News to death. That's the goal.
Well, Max, I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate you getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning for this interview, and I definitely wish you much success and congratulations on moving up in the world and having your show on the BBC. I'm glad you were able to come on.
My pleasure, Alex. Always, I'm a big fan. Listen to, want to check out what's happening and what's happening, I'll check out your show.
Yeah, thank you. I'll send you a link to this show when I get up online on Google. Thank you, man.
All right, man. See ya.
All right, Christy, we're going to play the last track on that DVD. And guys, I'll be back in a couple minutes. So, Christy, go ahead and watch the last track. It's either 5 or 6. And this is called New World Order on Trial. More news and information coming your way, but we're going to cover that after we play this video. Go ahead. We'll be back.
What is it? Is more than one small country. It is a big idea. A new world order. A new world order. A new
world order. A new world order. Out of these troubled times, our fifth objective, a new world order, can emerge. Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order...
Fantasy, no careless product of wild imagination.
No, my good friends. These indictments that I've brought you today, specific charges listed herein against the individuals, their acts of treason, their ultimate aim of sedition. These are matters of undeniable fact. I ask you now to pronounce judgment. on those accused. On this mindless aberration, whose only means of expression are wanton violence and destruction. Once trusted by this council, charged with maintaining the defense of the planet itself, chief architect of this intense revolution and author of this insidious plot to establish a new order amongst us, with himself as absolute ruler. You have heard the evidence. The decision of the council will now be heard.
Guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order. A new world order. A new world. A new world. A new world order.
Oh, I love the police state. Oh, the police state's so great.
A new world is emerging.
Yeah, it is.
It is a new world order.
A new world order.
Significantly different and radically new challenges to the future.
And those will lead us on the road.
A new world order. It is a new world order. A new world order.
Order, order, order. Oh, yeah. I love the new world order. Oh, yeah. It's so great. It says world protection. It's okay. They're making sure we don't hurt ourselves. Dance to the new world order's tune. Get down, the American nightmare. Dance your ass off.
Da 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 da.
The way we're gonna win the war is not just militarily. We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us.
Sing it, Sam. Bam. Oh, those cameras are just there for your own safety. They're there for Al-Qaeda. Don't worry about it. No. Oh, hey, there's our buddy Kissinger.
Will be the emergence of a new international order.
He gave Obama his first job at the college.
In the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
It's fine.
The beginning.
It's 1929.
Of a new international order.
In this new world, we'll have a profound impact. The forces shaping this world.
The forces of darkness
are so strong. And they all tend in one direction.
Get down, get down.
World government is the structure necessary for global justice.
Get down with your bad new world order self. Shake your tyrannical ass. You love it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just hit me again, baby. Oh, just beat me again. Oh, we have victim consciousness problems here. Oh, yeah. New world order. NASA!
Establish a new order.
Down back the system. We need the system, don't we? Don't be at the system.
Are drawn together in common cause.
Oh, yeah.
It is a big idea.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A big idea.
It is a big idea.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new world order.
It is a new world order.
I think I've heard that somewhere before. Where have I heard that phrase?
A new world order.
It just seems so familiar.
A new world order.
It is a big idea.
The new world order.
A big idea.
It is a new world order.
Big gun to your head. All right, guys, we're back. We've got 2 minutes left. Let's go ahead and cover this real quickly. Hey, in the UK, they're going to have bouncers hired by UK schools as crowd control. It comes amid growing concerns over breakdown in school discipline, with claims last week that as many as 1 in 4 teachers has been a victim of violent pupils in the last year. So they need people to go, sit down and shut up. I'm the big guy with the black shirt and the shaved head. I'm the guy that ex-military. In other news, North Korea to quit talks, reopen nuclear plants. It's fine. It's 1929. Here's another one. Russia test fires intercontinental missile. Here's another one. Predator drones are due to fly over Detroit. And we've got some more. Okay, Oregon jobless rate again, 12.1%. Again, no charges against CIA officials waterboarding. Obama says, at a time of great challenges and disturbing disunity, nothing will be gained by spending our time and energy laying blame for the past. And then we have Gerald Celente. Here's the thing. Here is the way we will conclude the program. So how do we effectively wage a revolution? He doesn't talk about a violent one. He talks about an intellectual, I guess, and international revolution in consciousness. He says, and I'm quoting from Gerald Celente, I'm calling for an intellectual revolution. I ask American citizens to free their minds from the tyranny of dumb think. This is a revolution about thinking, not manning the barricades. It's about brain power, not brute force. For society to survive and grow, it must wake up and grow up. Americans must acknowledge what their opinions are based on, who they listen to, and why. What are America's prime information sources? CNN, the most trusted name in news? Fox? Fair and Balanced, CNBC, First in Business Worldwide, The New York Times, all the news that's fit to print. Who do the people listen to? A closed circuit of familiar faces guaranteed to take predictable positions. Authorities on nothing, yet pronouncing upon everything. A cadre of media aristocrats pretending they're the people's voice. Bill O'Reilly, Stephen Colbert, Rush Limbaugh, Keith Olbermann, Sean Hannity, Jon Stewart, Chris Matthews, Jim Cramer, Joe Scarborough, Anderson Cooper, Bill Maurer, TV Tough Guys, Broadcast Big Mouths, and Beltway Blowhards have now been joined by Featherweight Comics throwing powder puff punches at sitting targets. Folks, these people are phonies. You want the real deal, the real information, and the truth, you've got to find it yourself. Until next week, I'm Alan Cancer reminding you that the path to the ultimate truth still starts in one place. That's within. Sleep tight. Even if you do it with one eye open.